I'd like to begin this morning by joining with Eddie in welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us today and not a member of this local assembly, thank you for coming. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back at every opportunity. If you have any questions about the things you see or hear today, we hope you'll ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. We are delighted that you're here, and it is a joy and a privilege to assemble with the saints who work and worship here on a regular basis. Brethren, today we begin a sermon series entitled Minor Characters in the Gospels. We're going to be looking at characters that are not quite as prominent in our minds as others we read about. Characters of less significance. But I think you'll see that these characters of less significance still have important lessons for us to learn. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. The first minor character we'll study is Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We read, and he entered Jericho and was passing through. That's Jesus. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus is probably best well known for the song about him. The children's song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Well, brethren, that song is based on this story. Jesus was passing through Jericho. And when Jesus came to Jericho, a man named Zacchaeus heard about it. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He occupied a prominent position. He was a chief tax collector. Because of the crowds, though, Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to see him, but he couldn't see through the crowd or over the crowd. We're told that Zacchaeus was a short person. You know, it's interesting. The Bible often tells us about various characters' traits, their physical makeup. For instance, Rachel was beautiful, Genesis 29, verse 17. Ehud was left-handed, Judges 3, verse 15. Eglon was fat, Judges 3, verse 17. Saul was tall, 1 Samuel 9, verse 2. Absalom was handsome, 2 Samuel 14, verse 25. Well, here we see that Zacchaeus was short. Well, because of his size, he couldn't see Jesus. So he improvised. The Bible says that he ran on ahead of Jesus and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, sycamore trees in that region are not very tall, and their branches are low to the ground. And so Zacchaeus climbed up onto one of the branches where he would be just slightly above Jesus, able to look down on Jesus over the crowd. Well, as Jesus approached, Jesus saw Zacchaeus and called him by name. Some have wondered, how did Jesus know his name? Well, we are talking about the Son of God. Maybe someone told him, but chances are he knew it supernaturally. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. And Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm coming over." Well, Zacchaeus was delighted. The Bible says he hurried down and received the Lord joyfully. Meanwhile, the crowd, they grumbled. They said, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." At this point, I believe the scene shifts. It shifts from the tree to the house. When the Bible says that Zacchaeus received him, that is, he welcomed him into his house. He showed hospitality. And apparently, at some time during dinner, maybe before they ate or while they ate or after they ate, we see a change in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said to the Lord in verse 8, and notice, by the way, he called him Lord. Zacchaeus said, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Some of the other newer translations, like the New American Standard or the NRSV or the updated NIV, they say, "I will give to the poor." And that's the idea. Apparently, Zacchaeus was a sinner. He had defrauded people. But he says to Jesus, "Jesus, from now on, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor." Isn't that an extremely sacrificial act? He didn't say, "I'm going to give some of what I have." That would have been commendable. He said, "I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone," he says, "I will restore it fourfold." You see, Zacchaeus has gone from curiosity to conversion. He has had a change of heart. By the way, notice that repentance of necessity, when possible, requires restitution. If I go out today and I rob a bank, and I'm sitting at home tonight with this bag of money, and suddenly I begin to feel sorry for what I've done, I decide to change my life, which is repentance, of necessity, I'd have to return that money. I'd have to make restitution. Now, I understand there are some situations where that's not possible. But in situations where it is possible, repentance requires restitution. And that's what we see here. He had the means to pay back what he defrauded. In fact, he said, "I'll do so fourfold." That's in keeping with the law of Moses, Exodus 22, verse 1. Well, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." And then we have that well-known statement, the Lord's mission statement. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." That was the Lord's point and purpose for coming. He did not come to entertain. He did not come to satisfy curiosity. Jesus Christ came to earth to seek and to save the lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said in essence the same thing. He said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Brethren, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. But there's so much more to know. There's so much more to learn and to apply. I want to notice some lessons, but first, let's notice 4 points about Zacchaeus. Number one, he was prestigious. The Bible says he was a rich man. He occupied a prominent position. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And he was well known by everyone in Jericho. They didn't necessarily like him, but they all knew him. Let me tell you something about the way Jews typically viewed tax collectors. Jews viewed tax collectors as disloyal and dishonest. They viewed them as disloyal because they worked for the occupying empire. They were agents of Rome. They viewed them as dishonest because they took more taxes than they had to. They were extortioners. That's why throughout the Gospels, the Jews got all bent out of shape when Jesus showed kindness to a tax collector. They didn't like tax collectors. Did they like Zacchaeus? What did they say when Jesus invited himself over? They said he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Jesus, if you want to go to someone's house, don't go to his house. So we note that he was prestigious. Number two, he was persistent. He came to see Jesus. When he couldn't see through the crowd or over the crowd, the Bible says he ran ahead. He climbed up into a tree. Zacchaeus was very persistent. Number three, he was prompt. When Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there," the Bible says he hurried down. And when Jesus said, "I'm coming over," he gladly received Jesus. The implication is they immediately went to his house. He was prompt. And number four, Zacchaeus was penitent. As he spoke with Jesus, he had a change of heart. He promised benevolence and restitution. These are four things to remember about Zacchaeus. He was prestigious, he was persistent, he was prompt, and he was penitent. Well, these stories are recorded for a reason. There are lessons to learn. What are some lessons to learn from Zacchaeus? Number one, diligence does not go unnoticed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Isn't that true of Zacchaeus? He was rewarded for diligently seeking Jesus. Jesus saw that this man had gone to great effort to see him, climbed the sycamore tree. And therefore Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house today." There are other examples. Think about the paralytic and his friends in Mark 2. You remember that Jesus was in a house and he was surrounded by a large crowd, and four men carrying their friend, their paralyzed friend, came to the house. But the Bible says they couldn't get their friend to Jesus because of the crowd. So what did they do? The Bible says they went up onto the roof. The typical roof was flat, and you could actually dig through it if you wanted to. And so they took their friend up onto the roof. They dug through the roof, and they lowered him down into the house to Jesus. Now, they were showing great effort, weren't they? They were very diligent. Well, did Jesus look up and say, "What are you doing? You're ruining the roof"? No. Did Jesus say, "You know, you really ought to wait your turn"? No. Jesus saw their diligence and it didn't go unnoticed. Jesus forgave the man of his sins and raised him from his bed. Or what about Jairus? Remember when Jairus, who also occupied a prominent position, ran to Jesus, fell down at his feet, and begged that Jesus would heal his daughter? Jesus was impressed by Jairus, and his daughter was healed. Throughout the Gospels, we see that diligence does not go unnoticed. Number two, everyone is a prospect to be saved. Now, to the citizens of Jericho, Zacchaeus was beyond redemption. He was without hope. They grumbled when Jesus wanted to go to his house. Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. That's as low as you can go. But Jesus saw potential. Jesus saw an opportunity. And Zacchaeus was saved. What did Jesus say? Today, salvation has come to your house. If that rotten tax collector could be saved, anyone can be saved. And there are other examples. Jesus, think about this, appreciate this. Did you know that Jesus made a zealot one of his apostles? Now maybe you're wondering what a zealot was. A zealot was a sect within Judaism, a fringe sect that wanted to overthrow Rome by violence. We would look at them today and we'd think, wow, those guys are kooky. They're crazy. They're way out there. Well, Jesus made one an apostle. What about the thief on the cross? He obviously had committed a crime. And when they were first hung on the cross, he mocked and ridiculed Jesus. Thankfully, he had a change of heart. He asked the Lord to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus replied, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." What about the Samaritan woman in John 4? Jews viewed Samaritans with disdain. They looked down on Samaritans, especially female Samaritans. But Jesus spoke to this woman. She came to believe that he was the Messiah. And he lodged in their city for several days. What about Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus was a spiritual terrorist. He made it his mission to destroy the church. He had a reputation that preceded him. And yet Saul of Tarsus was saved. Brethren, do not be the judge, jury, and executioner. Don't count people out without giving them a chance. Give them an opportunity. Extend the gospel. Let them shoot it down. Don't shoot it down for them. We learn from Zacchaeus that everyone, even those who seem the least likely, everyone is a prospect to be saved. Number three, though harder, the rich can be saved. I want you to appreciate where this story falls in Luke's narrative. A chapter earlier, in Luke 18, we have the story of the rich young ruler. The Bible says a rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked a good question. How can I have eternal life? Jesus detected a flaw with this man and he told him that he needed to sell his possessions and give it to the poor. But the man loved his possessions. He was possessed by his possessions. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. Jesus then said that it's nearly impossible for a rich man to be saved. Now he's talking about a rich man who loves his possessions. But it's interesting to note that there's a case of a rich man not being saved. And the Lord making a statement that seems to indicate it's very hard for a rich person to be saved. But now, a chapter later, we see a contrast. This rich man was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to change. And he was saved. Wealthy people need to know, with wealth comes more temptation. With wealth comes a false sense of security if we're not careful. Why was it in the Gospels that poor people responded to Jesus at a much higher rate than rich people? Why is that true even today? I think the answer is obvious. But at the same time, don't take that to mean a rich person cannot be saved. From this story, we see that they can. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. The Bible says he was rich. But he was also a disciple. He gave Jesus his own tomb. Lydia was a rich woman. She was saved. Philemon was a rich person. He was saved. Though harder, the rich can be saved. And number four, there is no excuse for excuses. What do I mean by that? Zacchaeus could have made plenty of excuses. He could have said, number one, I'm too busy. You know, I've got all these tax collectors working for me. I need to oversee what they're doing. I'm just too busy. Or when he reached Jesus and saw the large crowd, he could have said to himself, it's just too crowded. Or he could have said to himself, you know, I can't see over the crowd. I'm too short. But he didn't make excuses. He did not let obstacles rob him of the opportunity. In our daily lives, there are plenty of excuses. Well, you know, I didn't get much sleep last night. Or I worked so hard yesterday. My wife's giving me trouble. My boss has been on my back. I just need some downtime. I'll go to services next week. Or we see someone in need and we say to ourselves, well, you know, I was in need and no one helped me. Regardless of the situation, we can all find excuses if we want to. Zacchaeus surely could have found excuses to just walk away. How would you like to approach a crowd that hates you? Oh no, here comes Zacchaeus. Hey scoundrel, what are you doing here? You extortioner? You here to take more of our money? Can you imagine how uncomfortable that may have been for him? What's the matter? The emperor busy? But he went to that crowd. He was determined to see Jesus. And by the time the story ends, he was a saved man. A true child of Abraham. Brethren, you can find excuses if you want to. But from Zacchaeus we learn that there is no excuse for excuses. Lord willing, we'll continue our sermon series tonight, Minor Characters in the Gospels. If you're here though this morning and not a child of God, we never conclude a service without offering the Lord's invitation. Will you come this morning believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because He is? But understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. It is an active working faith. Jesus Himself said you must repent of your sins, you must confess your faith, and you must be immersed in water. If you'll take those simple steps, you'll rise up a new creature, born again by the blood of Christ. Do you know the only thing better than hearing the Lord tell you at your house, today salvation has come? Do you know the only thing better than hearing that is to hear it on judgment? Think about it. It'd be good to hear it right now today, but I'd rather hear it on judgment. My friends, if you want to hear it on judgment, there are conditions. God's grace is available, but it's appropriated upon your obedience. Zacchaeus was willing to make that change. Are you willing to make that change? Zacchaeus was willing to sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? You can't change your past. Zacchaeus couldn't change his past. But you've got a future. Why not serve the time you have left with the Lord? If there's one overriding lesson from Zacchaeus, it is this. Don't miss your opportunity. And my friends, this is your opportunity. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, don't delay. Come right now as we stand and sing.